And we're live. So, all right, welcome everybody to the second episode of the Grumpy Guy BJJ podcast. I'm here with my buddy Rob. What's up, dude?
Yo, what's up, James?
Yo, it's kind of becoming your signature call on that the podcast. Is, two podcasts in, and that's it. It's your signature pod, or signature deal. So, well, cool, man. So we're back for another episode. In this episode, we're going to talk about, it's funny, it was actually kind of the thing that we're like, man, we got to do a podcast just to record this because we're telling people the same thing. But it's kind of like advice to white belts, you know, like new people coming in, things that we wish that people had told us coming in, or just kind of things we've observed and stuff like that. And I do want to let everybody know who's not here. Professore Rob here has notes.
Yeah, I'm not playing around, man. Like, I'm taking this endeavor seriously. Like, yeah. I don't want to just give these people an ear beating for an hour a week, you know? Like, I got to come prepared, you know? Right. So, yeah, I've been thinking. I got notes. Like,
yeah, he's going to force me to step my game up eventually, man. So cool, dude. So, yeah, before we dive into it, man, I haven't seen you a bit, man. What's how's your week going?
Oh, it's going good. It's nothing too crazy.
Got any good podcasts or anything you're listening to?
My standards, you know, I always dig into the JRE. Hey, Mind Pump's a good one I've been listening to lately. I don't know if you've played with those guys yet or not.
You've mentioned them before.
Really, that's what I've been listening to this week is JRE, Mind Pump. And I've been dabbling with a few other ones. But
any good lessons from them?
No. Not that I can think of. Yeah. Nothing fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, like to... entertainment more than education for the most part.
Good, man.
I'm sure I picked up some. You know, I was thinking about that. I was listening to, they had Dr. Andy Galpin on Mind Pump, and he was talking about periodization.
Periodization?
Yeah, there you go, that word.
Yes.
And because you can't be try to get better at everything all at once, and I screw that up all the time. And you know, like, you've talked to me about it before, and of course, I'm a meathead, so I don't listen. I'm like, yeah, whatever, James is just telling me some nonsense. But and then after listening to his interview, I really started thinking about, like, dude, I never really, you know, structure it like that. You know what I mean? I try to get better at everything all the time. You know, so I'm like, you know, I need to. So I think I'm going to be a little more structured on that. Look at this.
Got a book for you, man. Ultimate MMA Conditioning, Joel Jamison's book. If you guys listening have not checked this out, this book is like the best cardio training book I've ever read. And it's just funny because I threw it in my bag to bring it, and you're talking about it, and in there he talks about the same stuff, like block training, using like you're focusing on specific qualities at specific times and doing it in a you know, some sort of planned manner, you know, like that makes sense. So so it's just funny. I was gonna forget to give that to you, so
that's awesome. No, so I guess, you know, yes, but maybe I don't know if I learned that this week or last week, but yeah, I think I got to be a little more structured with that. I can't just get better at everything all the time.
Yeah, it's tough.
You got to do a little strength cycle, then, you know, maybe a more cardio-based cycle, or maybe jiu-jitsu is your focus for that, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I don't want to do 8 weeks. I think my attention span will waver. I think I gotta break mine into like 4 or 6 weeks because I'll get bored.
Well, what Joel does in the book explains that like an 8 week block is actually 2 4 week blocks. And so the way that he talks about, like, you kind of like start focusing on these qualities and then you segue into focusing on, you know, kind of related but, you know, different qualities. So maybe like, you know, you're working on explosiveness in the first 4 weeks, and then the second 4 weeks you're working on that explosive endurance. But, you know, but yeah, it's an overall block of working on, you know, explosiveness or whatever. So it, yeah, that's kind of the trick, though, is you do have like kind of 4 week blocks that overlap a little bit. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. When you read that book, it'll make more sense. And I've put together some programs and stuff for mountain bikers based on that. So I can kind of show you, but it's, so yeah, man, well, that's cool. I started listening to the Celtic Holocaust on Hardcore History, so...
See, you know, because he's not... Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, it's not... You got to buy it now, right? It's not straight up on iTunes?
Yeah, some free ones every once in a while. I mean, I definitely... Oh, just computer problems. Don't worry about us, guys. Yeah, the he comes out with some free ones every now and then that I check in on. So,
but they're cheap, isn't it? Like $1 an episode or something.
Yeah, yeah, to pay for them. Yeah, yeah, the ones that you pay for. So yeah, but he just had a new free one come out, so I like jumped on that, and I'm like, they're setting it up, and it's like, oh, dude, this one's gonna.
Those
be,
are such good podcasts.
They're so
dude.
Good, man. Yeah, and it's like it's gonna be hardcore though. You know, he takes it. He goes deep into that stuff. So, yeah, super interesting.
There's a, you know, there's a couple other good history podcasts. Revisionist History, Malcolm Gladwell. Have you got into that one yet?
Yeah, I'm listening to it a little bit, but that's good. I didn't get into
it. It's different than, you know, Dan Carlin's podcast, but it's good. There's another good one, Tides of History.
Yeah.
That I, you know, dug into a little bit, listened to quite a few episodes. It's pretty good, too.
That's good, man. Yeah.
There's plenty of them.
Yeah, there, yeah. So. Yeah, well, driving for a living, you got some time to listen to podcasts.
Yeah, dude, all the days that I work, I have about 4 to 6 hours a day that I can listen to a podcast pretty straight through, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So,
that's why
you know
so much, man. That's why I enjoy talking to you. I ask you, like, what have you been listening to? Because, like, you get exposed to a lot of different stuff.
Oh, yeah,
so
dude.
It's interesting.
So, I got plenty of time to listen to them. So, you know, I'll switch it up. You know, I'll do audiobooks or podcasts and stuff that I try to learn. Or sometimes I just, like, all right, man, I just need to be entertained for a while, you know.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
But,
nice, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
Cool, man. We'll switch into jiu-jitsu. I'm sure everybody's tired of listening to our podcasting.
Our podcast about podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like a coffee table book about
coffee tables. That's awesome.
But yeah, so it's funny. The other night I did come in Tuesday night and coach and ended up showing him spider guard to single leg X to X guard to sweep to ankle lock. And it was hilarious because it sounds like one of those things that was going to like blow everybody's brains. But it went all right, like the way that I ended up structuring it and showing it. But it was kind of
that
funny.
Could go south. It could be pretty bad. Dude.
It was. I was like, all right. I was like, I think I can break this down. But it's just funny because I texted you saying I don't know if I trusted them to their own devices, and then there I am like showing them some like
crazy
what
shit.
Could have been crazy. But no, it was good. It was fun. But yeah, man, it kind of segues into what we're going to talk about, because there are definitely some, you know, I think one of the reasons that we've been talking a lot about white belt advice and stuff is because, you know, our gym's been growing recently. Kevin, our coach here, quit his job as a police officer to focus on the gym, and so he's been, you know, we've been seeing a lot more new people coming in and been having to realizing, like, man, we got to, you know, giving people some advice right off the bat helps. And so actually it was one of the reasons we started the podcast, like I mentioned, was because we wanted to record this. So this is probably gonna be like mandatory listening for all the new white belts at Grand Valley BJJ. So Rob and I don't have to repeat ourselves quite so much, because there are some basic things, right? It's about the basics.
Yeah,
so there's some basic things that you want to keep in mind. And so, and again, a lot of this is it comes from like wanting people to one, I think, like, man, being a white belt is such a delicate time, right? Because it's easy to get frustrated and quit. It's really easy to kind of get started down the wrong path, you know, like maybe you're really strong and you're having some early success with your strength and you don't realize that. And so it's easy to kind of like maybe get started down the wrong path and you got to make a correction down the road. And so, you know, it's kind of a, you know, important time for people to develop that right mindset, you know, for the training, because it's a marathon, man. I think that's kind of the main thing. Is like, if you don't kind of like, you know, it's like that ship, man. If you freaking get that ship, that big boat, just start a little bit in the wrong direction, man, it gets real far down the road.
Yeah.
And it's really far off direction, and it takes a lot to correct it and get it back on the right path. And so I think we've both been training long enough to kind of see how that affects people, both early on and in the long term. And so, yeah, man, I don't know. Kind of what's your thoughts on that?
No, I agree. And even before I jump into that, because I like, as far as advice for newbies goes, you got some real basic, simple stuff, you know, as you know, hygiene, you know, some simple things that maybe like sometimes some of these things are a little uncomfortable to address with someone in class.
Yeah.
You know, but then you don't want to be the weird guy pulling them off to the side having a weird conversation either. You know what I mean? So I think maybe someone listening to this, you know, it'll make them assess a little bit, like, oh, you know. But before I even get into that, because I've been thinking about this, you know, the podcast and this conversation with new people, but I started thinking a lot about, like, you know, you know, okay, so why are we doing this podcast? You know, and all the, a lot of these conversations that you and I have. But I think it's because you and I are both, we're always on this path of like continual improvement and growth. Like, you know, like it's weird to say personal development because it gets a little, I don't like using that.
Anthony Robbins.
Yeah.
The power within.
But that's a pretty good description for it. Like, we're always trying to be better, like better versions of ourselves, you know, whether that's physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it is, or whatever hats we put on. Like, we're trying to be a better husband, father, dad, coach, everything. We're always trying to improve.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's what really, you know, that's like the umbrella over a lot of our conversations. Because, you know, how often, you know, we'll see each other, go a few days without seeing each other and be like, hey, what are you reading now? Or, you know, or exactly, like, what are you listening to now? You know, and so, you know, that being said, I kind of, I like that. Because that we can use this podcast for that. You know, it's almost kind of, there's a selfish aspect to it because we get to stress, we get to chop this time out through the week. Like, hey, man, we get to sit down and have an hour long conversation, which isn't always easy to do. So it's pretty cool. Hey, we get to bounce ideas off each other, and I tend to get off in the weeds about certain things sometimes, so you can reel me back in, or, you know.
Dude, I'm the wrong one to be asking to reel back in, man. You got notes. I don't even have notes, man.
But, so, you know, we're on this path, you know, we're always trying to improve, and so hopefully us recording these conversations and putting them out there will kind of help people who are on the same path, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, I've been thinking a lot about that, because man, you should always be trying to improve. You know, what are you reading? What are you getting into? Like, there's always room for growth. I mean, maybe you just think you're awesome and you don't need to grow and improve anymore. Yeah. But I don't think I've ever came across anybody that's fallen into
that. It's really there,
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So I kind of see us, we're either like Sherpas leading people up the mountain, or maybe we'll be more like the canary in the coal mine.
We're here to warn people off of things.
But, you know, it's kind of where, kind of how I see this podcast going. I was thinking about that, and I just wanted
to. Yeah. No, man. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think, because, again, I think that's why, like, Kelly keeps saying, like, we should have a podcast, like, for a long time before we started doing this one. Because she's been, you know, Kelly, my wife, she's been, heard a lot of our conversations over the years. And, yeah, that's what it is, man. Like, I'm always trying to find ways to improve. I'm a big believer that, you know, how you do one thing is how you do everything, right? Like, you can learn a lot about people from just how they handle, like, the simplest things. And so, you know, if you live that lifestyle of just understanding, like, man, you know, like, there's just ways to improve and get better. And I'm on that pursuit. I think, like, Musashi, you know, had a quote, something along the lines of, like, you know, today is victory over you know, a lesser foe, you know, yourself of yesterday. It's like every day you should be a little bit better than the person that you were before. And jiu-jitsu, man, more than anything, really, like, you know, personifies that for me, because, you know, it's like the embodiment, like the purest, most purest embodiment of that I've come across, you know, either like in anywhere, really, you know, like if you apply yourself and it's amazing what you can accomplish, because, you know, just seeing, you know, how far I've come in 5 years, you know, it's really cool to see. And it's tough because there's a lot of things in life where people don't get that opportunity to see that kind of direct connection between effort and how they're approaching that effort and the results that they get for it. You know, because, like, you know, you may have to put in a lot of time and effort in a relationship or something to see it pay off, like, you know, months or years down the road. But, like, man, in jiu-jitsu, if your half guard game sucks ass and you ask, you know, people who are better than you for help, and you take their advice to heart and you drill it and you focus on it, man, within a few weeks, you can see a marked improvement. And I think that's one of the cool things for people like white belts, kind of drawing this back to them, is like, I know for me, like, I came at this after spending, 12 plus years riding mountain bikes. And so, you know, again, I wasn't like pro level, but I was pretty damn good. And I'd kind of gone through that journey of like being a white belt at it to getting, you know, to, you know, pretty close to black belt status, whatever you want to call it. And so I wanted to do something where I was a white belt again, because I missed that, like, big, those progressions that you would get, man. Every time you stepped on the, you know, did it, you know, like when you're a white belt, every time you stepped on the mat, you know, you could do something else, or, you know, something clicked a little bit, or you learned a new move that, that filled in a gap. And so there's that giant learning curve that makes it so much fun. But, again, like just making sure that you're approaching it the right way so that you're not, kind of leading yourself in the wrong direction with it. But yeah, I think that's it, man. It's just, continual improvement and approaching it the right way from day one, helps a lot. 'Cause you don't want to get yourself like, you know, I mean, we've seen it, man. 'Cause here's the deal, like this advice, we're calling this like, you know, advice for white belts, but you and I both know, man, we've seen people with color on their belts.
Oh, dude, it's advice for everybody. This. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I still have to check myself on this stuff myself, but yeah, it's advice for everyone, but you can definitely, it's not just white belts. It's an overall strategy that if you missed somewhere along the road can really affect your growth and stuff for it. But, so yeah, man, I don't know. I think
and I'm glad you said that because, you know, being that I call us Sherpas and we're trying to lead people up the mountain, like trying to, you know, help people improve themselves. But I don't want to come across as like, hey, man, I got all this shit figured out and listen to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a constant battle, man. Like, and these conversations too, you know, will help us sort that shit out. Like, oh man, check this out. This is a mistake I made. You know, like, I thought I was on the right path. I thought I was doing some good things. And
that's why I like coaching. Coaching ultimately is a selfish thing.
Dude, yeah.
Because it makes you way better. It makes your training partners better, which makes you better. But, yeah, no, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt.
No.
Yeah, you learn a lot from it.
Oh, you learn a lot. Like, and I'm hoping, like, I'm kind of thinking, like, next week, next episode, you know, I want to do have a conversation about confidence. You know, confidence on the mat, like, as far as any dude, because I'm struggling with it. You know what I mean? And it's going to be a tough conversation for me to have, dude, but, like, I'm going to get kind of real with it, you know, and I think it'll be good for me, like, to have the conversation and get it out there, but it might be good for other people to hear it, too, you know what I mean? We can get deep into that one, so.
It is, man.
So, you know, we'll have.
It is an informal. But anyways. Something I struggle with myself, too,
yeah,
man.
Dude,
some days you're the hammer, some days you're the nail, and some days it seems like.
So.
Yeah, you're always the nail, so.
We might be the.
Yeah,
the mountaineering guys leading you guys the right direction, but we might lead you off a cliff too. So
we'll
see where the fuck that takes us.
Yeah. So,
but anyways,
well, cool, man. All right. Well, let's get it kicked off, man. I mean, you got some notes, so let's.
So advice for new people, and I mean, again, this goes for everybody. Before we get more into like the more introspective stuff, like, dude, I just want to do the real surface level.
No, it's good.
The real surface level.
Like you said, like
easy
the
easy shit, dude.
Almost like hard conversations.
We'll just start with, you know, hygiene. Like, cut your fingernails and toenails. Simple. You know, it's a little weird, you know, but, dude, I've seen people with a lot of color on their belt, like purple belts come in, and they got these big, gnarly fucking toenails that. Maybe if you were in prison and you had to get in a shower fight, it'd be a good weapon to have. But that's not what we're doing here, man.
Not what we're doing here, man.
So.
And if you are, you're at the wrong school.
Yeah. So cut those things, man.
Right, yeah.
You know.
That's his leg lock defense.
Yeah. Maybe that's a good leg lock defense. You know, throw those toenails up there and slice the shit out of somebody, man. Like, but you know what? Like, take a look at your fingernails. Take a look at your toenails. Cut those things.
Yeah.
Next, I would have to say is. Don't be the stinky guy in class.
Yeah, yeah, it goes without saying, or it should go without saying.
It should go, you know, and, like, you know, for me, example, dude, I sweat like crazy. You know, I can't wear a gi more than 2 training sessions in a row.
Nah.
And not everybody has a washer and dryer or washer at home to wash your gi every time. But as soon as you get home, hang that thing up, let it dry out. Don't just leave it stuffed in your gym bag because, dude, they get funky, and they get funky fast. And maybe you can get away with training in them, you know, a couple times before you wash it. But think about it, man. Just don't be the stinky guy.
Yeah.
That's no bueno.
Take care of your training partner.
You know, but on that note, too, like, yeah, and, like, if you got to work all day, don't come in here smelling like a foot. Like, if you're real sweaty and stinky,
It is. Yeah, I think that's one of the things. Like a lot of, because jiu-jitsu is it's so different than a lot of anything else that we do, really, because it's so intimate. I mean, man, you are right there, and you don't realize, like, you can cruise around all day long and maintain, like, a, you know, 3 foot, you know, sphere away from each other, and you'd be surprised what 3 feet will cover up, man. But, man, when you're, like, 3 inches from someone, like, you're not covering up anything.
No, no.
And, yeah, it's funny, like, I think, you know, and it's, you know, it's just being aware of it. I think if people are aware of it, and again, it's one of those things, like, a lot of this advice is, I think, like, I don't think there's anyone out there who's heard this and then is like, ah, screw it. I want to be stinky anyways. You know what I mean? This is just stuff that they don't even think about, because there's a lot of things like, you know, cutting your toenails. And like, again, like what we think of as being like long and gnarly is probably like most in most people's world, like not too bad, you know, kind of normal. But like, man, you like for us, like, those things will cut you.
Yeah.
And so you gotta, and so it's just understanding, like, there may be a little bit different level of personal hygiene and things that you're trying to keep in mind when you take up jiu-jitsu. And a lot of it has to do with your keeping your training partners healthy, because if you're cutting them up with your nails, if you stink, and two, man, if you stink, odds are you probably got some funk on you, and you're probably spreading some freaking, you know, ringworm or staph or something else around.
And
so
then I'm glad, I'm going to interrupt real quick. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, skin infections in jiu-jitsu, they're common, man. They're any grappling art, like in the wrestling room or Brazilian jiu-jitsu, they're going to happen. You try to minimize them as a school, you know, and we've done pretty good here. You know, we disinfect the shit out of everything, but they're still going to happen. So if you get a, you know, a little itchy red patch on you or something, like, don't be weirded out by it, man. Ask somebody who's been training for a while. Come to one of the senior students and be like, hey, man, what's this? I'm not saying we're all medical professionals, but if you've done jiu-jitsu long enough, dude, you've gotten ringworm before. It's just, it's happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, we might be able to just look at it and be like, oh, yo, that's ringworm. Just don't train with it. You know, here, go buy this cream. You'll be good. You know, or maybe it's something a little bit different. Like, yeah, you might want to go see a doctor about that one, but
don't ignore it.
Don't ignore it, man. Yeah. Like, if you get a little itchy red patch or a little itchy red bump, like, don't ignore it. Yeah. And don't just show up and train. Like, that's, like, I've seen more than once, like, somebody will have, like, a ringworm on their arm, and they'll just wrap athletic tape around it and start going, like, no, 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 no.
Yeah, no,
no. Nah, I don't know if you know, but athletic tape is not a good medical barrier. That's
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So don't ignore that and just keep training.
Yeah. And they have, like, soaps, like the arm bar soaps.
Defense soap is good.
That are good. And they're it was funny. Actually, I was listening to one of the last Joe Rogan podcasts I was listening to. He mentioned something I never really thought about. Like, they're actually probiotic. Like, they encourage, like, they're not like an anti
bacteria.
Yeah, you're not trying to kill the bacteria, because you have good bacteria on your skin. And so you're not trying to kill the bacteria on your skin. You're trying to make sure, it's just like your gut flora and your gut. It's like, you know, you want to make sure you've got more of the good ones than the bad ones. And it's when the bad ones start to take over that you end up with problems. And so, you know, using those soaps on a regular basis, especially after training, it's encouraging the growth of the good bacteria on your skin to help counteract that, more than it's like just killing the bacteria on your skin. So, but anyway, so that's kind of one of those things. There are like soaps that you know, can and should be using to help with, you know, skincare and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. You're better off using those. They have those like wrestling specific soaps, Defense, Armbar, but you know, any, without a lack of a better term, any of the hippie soaps, you know what I mean? Like the tea tree oils and
stuff.
And stuff like that's way better than, you know, go buying the don't buy the antibacterial shit off the shelf. Like, like you said, you want a healthy amount of bacteria on your skin. And so just nuking it with gasoline all the time, is you're going to be more susceptible to those stupid little skin infections.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
so,
not the point.
That's not the point, anyways.
That's good. Yeah, I think people get weirded out by those little bugs. I'm like, I want to kill them all. It's no.
And I understand that, you know what I mean? But we've all seen the news or read articles, you know, like too many hand sanitizers and antibacterial shit.
Oh, yeah.
Creates these super bugs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
next thing you know, you got this strain, super strain of something running around.
Got to burn the school down. It's the only way to kill it.
Yeah. So
salt the earth.
All right. But anyway, so don't be the stinky guy. But that also goes, chill out on the perfume and the cologne. I haven't come across too many guys that'll come in drenched in cologne trying to be Rico Suave, but there's been a ton of times, you know, females will come in and they got a bunch of perfume on, dude. And when you're out of breath and you're just gasping for air, dude, you will take a mouthful of perfume in. And yeah. It's fucking terrible, man.
It is.
And I understand, like, and again, that's just kind of a weird conversation to have with somebody. Like, what, pull her over, hey, like, pull some female, new white belt female over to the side and be like, hey, chill out on the perfume. Like, you're just going to scare students away. Right, you know what right, I mean? Yeah. So, hopefully they'll listen to this. Chill out on the perfume.
Yep.
And then another good thing for females too is makeup. I've seen it a lot of times. New girls come in and they have makeup, and the next thing you know, you see makeup getting rubbed off on somebody's white gi.
Yeah.
Hey man, it's not a beauty contest.
Yep.
And that's, you will see that. That's one of the cool things about jiu-jitsu is that no matter what you do in the outside world, it doesn't matter, man. Once you're on the mat, we're all the same. We're all just here
trying to better
ourselves, have fun doing jiu-jitsu. So we're not judging you. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need the makeup. You don't need the perfume.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just a different – it's like I was saying, it's just a different standard of kind of like, you know, what is expected of you from like a – and I say hygiene, you know, and kind of including makeup in that category, just kind of like body care and stuff like that, you know, just –
well, you know, just societal expectations, or, you know.
Yeah, societal expectations are different in the gym than they are outside
different in
the gym,
you know.
Sure.
They're way different. Not that they're less, but we care way less what you look like.
No, they have a purpose. Everything has a purpose. Just like it does outside the gym. Societal norms have a purpose outside the gym.
But on the mat, man, we just be a good person. We don't care what you look like.
No,
I don't care if you're next, you know, in America's Next Top Model search, or if you look like Frodo, man. We don't give a fuck. Just be a good person, man. Yep. You know what I mean? So.
And if you've seen Raw before, you know that's true.
Yeah, I did not forfeit a male modeling career to get into jiu-jitsu, just to, in case anybody's wondering. Okay, I think that kind of covers, like, the real surface-level stuff. This other stuff's kind of surface-level, too, is just, like, your behavior around the gym and at the academy or the school, the gym, whatever you want to call it. I would say first thing, try to show up on time. Just be respectful to all the other students, the coaches. You know, try to show up on time.
That's
a good distinction. Yeah. Be on the mat, ready to go. When class is ready to go. I understand that Brazilian jiu-jitsu is pretty relaxed at a lot of places, you know, so we kind of run on Brazilian time sometimes.
Yeah,
but it's still a respect thing, man. Like, show up, ready to go, and we're pretty loose here at our school, but I've seen some schools that are a little more strict about it, you know, to where, like, if you show up late, you don't come onto the mat until the coach says, yeah, okay, you can come onto the mat.
Yeah.
But if you're on time, it doesn't matter. That rule doesn't kick into effect if you're here and ready to go. Next thing I would say is, you know, pick up after yourself. Treat, like, this is more than just a gym for a lot of us.
Yeah.
To me, man, the jiu-jitsu gym, dude, it's a special place in my life. Like, it's really important to me. And don't leave your trash around, man. Don't, like, if you see a waste basket that needs to be emptied, empty the fucking thing. You know what I mean? We're all grown adults. I'm not saying you got to be the janitor and you got to sweep up everything, but
just take pride.
Take pride in it, man. That's how I've always been brought up in any martial art. You know, is it was on the students to take care of the gym. Like, if you see something fucked up, fix it or bring it to the coach's attention. Be like, hey.
Yeah.
You know, let us know, like, hey, this is messed up, or, you know, it's, I know it seems kind of simple, but unless someone gets taught about it or talked to about it, like,
it's easy, man. And if nobody says anything and the next person sees it and it's like, well, nobody said anything, so it must not be a big deal. And then it's real easy for, you know, little things to kind of, you know, build up, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, yeah, like, you know, somehow the message is not being communicated to people. And in a little bit, like, that's the thing, especially when you start getting a lot of people in your school, right? Like, I mean, we've got, you know, our school's got, what would you say, like, you know, 50, 75 people in the jiu-jitsu program.
I would have to say at least.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's people that got, like, school's got way more than that. But it's like, you know, if every person just, you know, left the place a little bit dirty, you know, or didn't pick up after themselves a little bit or something like that. You know what I mean? All of a sudden it adds up and it compounds. And so it's, it's a simple thing, but it is. It's just like picking up after yourself and also like taking pride in where you're at. So, like, I think of it as, like, you know, like, we're on a team, right? Like, you know, and when you join a jiu-jitsu gym, it's like it's a family. It's a, you know, a team, however you want to kind of look at it. And you're looking out. It's like next man up. Like you take care of your training partner. And so if you see something that, you know, like the next man up, you know, if you can help out by taking care of it or like you said, like pointing it out, like saying, hey, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but this, you know, is whatever. It helps, you know, the whole gym out. And so then, so anyways, I don't know. I know what you mean. It's small things that add up, but
they add up, you know, and it kind of gets into that, you know, leading by example, you know, and for the people who've been here for a while or have been at their gym for a while. Yeah. Just pick up after yourself, man. Just don't leave the shit out, you know, yeah. And, you know, throw your trash away, you know, and straighten things up. You know, it's simple things, you know, like, you know, but then again, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then on that note too, I was always taught that it was on the students to clean the mats after class. You know, that's why you see me still to this day, man. Like, we get done training, sweep the mat, clean it, disinfect it, because that's where those nasty little skin bugs will come up if you got a dirty training mat. You know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, like, yeah, it's our responsibility to keep the school up and keep us healthy. You know, I guess it all kind of ties in, but, you know, sweeping and mopping the mats, it's everyone's, you know, responsibility. We don't just hire some cleaning lady to come in and do it. You know, if you want to, you know,
it definitely helps.
I guess, you know, that kind of sums that up, you know, you know, I say, I clean the mats, lead by example, and then that kind of covers the real surface stuff. I think from here, we got plenty more advice to give out, but it gets a little more introspective, so to speak.
Kind of, you know, mindset.
Mindset, and like, and because we start talking about behaviors and how we interact with each other at the gym, and you have to take a minute and assess, like, hey, how, you know, how am I behaving at the gym? You know, so those things, a lot of the stuff we just covered, you know, is real surface level.
Yeah.
Cut your fucking toenails, pick up after yourself.
Yeah. Simple. Yeah. Basic stuff.
So we'll just dive right into like how you're behaving at the gym and interacting with everybody. So, introduce yourself to new people, you know, that's because it's intimidating. You know? And for those of us who've been doing this for a long time, you forget that, you know, we get comfortable here, you know, we're used to being in here, beating the piss out of each other. You know, but for a new person walking in day one, you forget what that feels like.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, just introduce yourself, you know, if they have any questions, help them out, you know, and just don't be an asshole, you know.
Yeah, no, it helps. Yeah. It's always helpful. Yeah. It's just general advice. Life advice in general.
And there's so much of that, like, I don't want to get off in the weeds on that, but yeah, so many little lessons in jiu-jitsu can be carried over to life or back and forth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's the whole point of the podcast. I guess we're going to tie everything back to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, right? I know, there's, man.
Lessons we learned here will fix us out there. But
Yeah, now that is, man. I think it's easy, too, once you've been doing this for a while. Because, I mean, let's admit it. Like, man, once you've been doing it for a few years, you realize, like, oh, wait a minute. Like, a lot of white belts are not going to make it past the first few months. And so you get a little cynical and you stop introducing yourself and necessarily learning everybody's name. I've definitely gone through those phases and I'm super guilty of that. So I apologize to everybody that I've called by the wrong name or called like, hey dude, way too many times. But yeah, I catch myself. And like you said, sometimes you got to catch your own behavior at the gym and check it. But yeah, you know, it's don't get cynical and realize, like, we joke around, like, oh, I wait until you get, like, your third stripe on your white belt before I learn your name, which, again, is kind of tongue-in-cheek, because it's like, yeah, at that point, you know, we realize we really do have to remember your name, but anyway, so, yeah, no, it is, it's intimidating for new people, so it's good to get in, but yeah, man, I think kind of the intimidation factor is kind of one of those big things that plays into the mindset stuff, because, you know, people come in and it's an intimidating environment. You know, you've got people trying to choke you out. You're learning how to defend yourself. And then you get set up, depending upon where you're at, you know, you're either doing specific training or some gyms will let you start rolling, live rolling in, you know, certain situations early on. And then some will have you, you know, wait several months or whatever. But either way, like you're getting getting exposed to something resembling like a live interaction with another person, and you know, the strength and the ego and all these things start getting involved. And I think that's where a lot of people really kind of start to, if they're not careful, it's easy to kind of lose your focus on the things that are really going to help you through the journey in the long run. So, so yeah, man, I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, which way to go with that, like...
Yeah, man, I think we just, like, jump into, like, what do we...
Jump into
what
it.
What do we want to tell
So,
them?
I guess...
number one, your number one thing?
I'm not going to start with the number one thing, but I will say, like, when we went to that Steve Maxwell seminar, he said, I can't remember if the number was 40 to 60 or 60 to 80.
But, 60 to 80.
60
to
80.
I like yours 40 to 60, because most people are going to redo that to be 60 to 80%, but yeah, like...
So we'll just say the Rob rule then. Steve's was 60 to 80. We'll give you the Rob rule of 40 to 60. So is what I mean by that is your intensity and how much strength you're using. Jiu-jitsu, it's not meant for, like, you don't have to be this big Hulk, you know, freak of nature to do it. You know what I mean? And so I always, when I'm trying to teach someone a new technique, if you're having to use more than 40 to 60% of your strength, like, the technique's flawed somewhere.
Especially if you're drilling.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But like, so you don't need to be going, you know, turbo destructo 100% deathmatch all the time. Like, yeah, that's not good for longevity, dude. You're gonna hurt yourself, you're gonna hurt your training partner. That's just no bueno, man. Like, I like the 40 to 60% rule. Like, if you're using more than 60% of your strength, find another route.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's, you just hit a roadblock, find another route.
Yeah.
And then I say, finding for someone new, that find another route is going to be limited. I understand that, but it'll come, you know, and we're not just, you don't want to come in and just beast mode everybody. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Well, I think like the big thing for me was I realized one day, I forget who I was drilling with, and you know, we all have those drilling partners. You get those guys or girls and they're just like, it's like, dude, like, calm down, like, we're just drilling here. And I realized, like, oh, wait a minute, like, he's not being a dick, he has an on off switch, he doesn't have a volume knob.
Yeah.
And that goes to, like, that percentage, like, people don't understand how to play with percentages of their strength and their effort, and they go from like 0 to 100. It's this on off switch, they're either on or they're off, on or off. And you see that a lot with new people who don't really have the body awareness. I mean, some of the stuff we were touching on in the last podcast on why strength training and those ramping isometrics are so beneficial for your jiu-jitsu is because they let you practice intensity of effort and actually understanding how to control a volume knob in a very safe, easy to learn in environment. You're not worried about getting choked out or learning moves or anything like that. So, but yeah, learning the value of the volume knob is huge. And just, and understanding, like, the other thing I've been, you know, telling people lately is like 100% is not a technique, right? And it goes back to what you're saying, like, man, if you're at 60% or 80% effort, like that, like, jiu-jitsu shouldn't be more than that. Right. And so, like, if you're at 100%, the only thing stopping someone from passing your guard or from submitting you is you just exerting 100%. Like, that's not a technique, you know. And so, like, you need to check yourself at that point and recognize, like, wait a minute. Like, I'm just going to kind of have to accept what's about to happen, but I need to relax. I need to go dial it back to like 80% or 60% and try an actual technique, not just... You know, and for me, man, that was freaking super hard to learn early on for sure, because, you know, I came into this with a, you know, good athletic training background and lots of strength training. So, like, being strong and being statically strong and being able to just, like, get a good grip and just lock that bad boy out and just, I dare you to try to get around this, you know, and 4 minutes later, we've done nothing. And it's just like, man, it took me a while to realize that's not it. Like, sometimes you just have to... You just have to accept what's about to happen, and you're going to learn more from it. Like, it kind of, like, touches on, you know, kind of an overarching thing I'm sure we'll dig into more as we go. But just, like, that's where the ego comes in. Like, when you're at 100%, a lot of times it's because your ego is screaming in your ear, no, don't let this happen. You can't let this happen. And so that's when you'll see dudes, like, just beast mode girls or something, or like smaller, weaker people, or just, like I said, like you just get locked in this death match. I mean, we all know there's those white belts that you're just like, dude, if I end up having a role with this dude, it's just going to be like so much not moving. They're just going to get locked in a position. They're just going to be so defensive. They're just going to be like so tight and rigid the whole time. You can almost feel them shaking. They're so just, and it's just like, you're not, nobody's learning anything from that. It's not, it's to nobody's value. But it's just the ego. Like they feel like if they can come out of that round or that specific match or whatever, and they didn't get tapped out, you know, by a higher belt or something like that, then they won. You know, and it's like, no, man, you actually, your ego got in your ear and stopped you from learning some good lessons. But yeah, man, no, that volume knob and just learning how to control that thing. I think that's like probably, if I had to give somebody like the number one thing coming in, like I'd say that's my number one piece of advice is like, just learn that thing's there and learn how to use it. Like in drilling, it should be at a certain percentage. When you're rolling, it should be at a certain percentage. When you're in competition, it should be at a certain, you know, it's okay to maybe like let it get a little higher, but understand where you're at. But yeah, that, anyways, that's just my opinion.
No, I agree 100%. And it's okay to let it get higher. We're not saying that you shouldn't have hard training rounds, especially when you're leading up to a competition and you're going with a training partner that you really trust. Like, dude, get after it. You know what I mean? Like, how many times me and you try to murder each other?
Yeah.
You know, and you see that.
Even then, it's like we were talking about this though, but it's like that 80 to 100%, like that's the NOS, man. That should be like your nitrous. That should be like a boost. Like, right. You have a very specific purpose. You're like, I'm almost there with this technique, and if I just muscle this last little bit, I know I'm going to get past it. And it's purposeful. You know what I mean? Like, so there's a difference between that because, yeah, for sure. Like, then there's a reason that the top guy's strength training gets strong, and you'll see them, like, you know, tell freaking Cyborg that you're not, you know, ever going 100%. You know, I mean, we've had a chance to train with and Rob had a chance to roll with him. I actually got pinned down by his forehead for a while. but anyways, so that's why I bring old Roberto Abreu up. But yeah, that dude, you know, big, strong guy. Like, there's definitely times I'm sure when he's, like, applying 100% effort, but it's very purposeful. It's very, short, and then he's back to the 60 to 80% in technique rule. But yeah, man, no, there's a time and place for everything. But most of the time, especially when you're a white belt, it's...
And there is a lot of learning that goes into that. You know, so to tie that back to, like, for new or someone new, a good place to learn that is when you're drilling. You know, you don't want to just be a limp noodle, like a dead fish laying there. You see that because people just have an on and off switch. They don't have the adjustment knob.
They're fighting,
like, you see it all the time, man. Like, they're either, like, you're just trying to drill and learn a move, and they are resistant. Like, hey, bro, just relax a little bit. Yeah. Or you tell them that, and then all of a sudden they just lay there literally like a corpse, and you're like, hey, man, I need a little interaction here to make this work, you know? So, and I understand that it's a learning process, you know? What I mean, shit, because you don't understand all the moves. And so you're not really sure, okay, how should I be reacting? So, but as long as you're trying and you're not being an ass clown about
like,
it, you know?
Touches on something that's funny. Like, I'm looking at your notes. I don't see it written down. It wasn't something that I actually remember, but something like I've heard us both talk to people about in the last couple of weeks is that when you're the person being drilled on, when you're the uki or the dummy, like, you can still learn things. Like, I think that's probably another big one that new people don't understand is, like, you know, if you're the person, say someone's drilling some sort of, like, side control, like, you know, passing from side control to mount, and you're the person having it drilled on them, man, there is so much that you can learn about, like, you know, having good frames, you know, there's just so many lessons that you can learn on both ends. So you don't have to be the one drilling a move to actually be learning and getting something from it. And I think that touches on what you were saying. Like, when you just lay there as a limp noodle, that's not realistic. You know, you're not practicing basic fundamental things that you want to drill into your head. And, man, we both know, like, what you do when you drill is what you do when you roll. Like, people wonder, like, why did I do that stupid thing when I went right there? And it's like, well, I watch you drill, and you do the same thing. So, but yeah, I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
No, I think you hit it right on the head. Yeah, it's my mind just automatically goes back to it's a skill. You know, you just have to learn with it. You gotta, again, when you're new,
Learning's a skill.
Yeah, yeah. When you're new, it's all the moves. Like, we're, say we're doing an armbar. And you're like, okay, so this person's doing an armbar on me. What am I, what can I be possibly learning from this? I get it. When you're new, it's going to be hard to decipher those lessons. But they're there.
They're there.
They're there.
You just notice if something's happening to you over and over. I guarantee you, like, if you're getting caught in an arm bar, like, for me, I joke around with people. I, like, dude, I got bow and arrowed like it was my job when I was a white belt. It was just ridiculous. Like, freaking Arlo and Nick would just, like, knee cut, pass, knee mount, freaking, I try to get out of there, and they just bow and arrow me, and it just, and you know, it, but... Again, like, what's my lesson there? Well, I literally had to break it down. You know, I had to, like, okay, how do I? I remember going to a coach and being like, man, you got to take pity on me here. I'm getting bow and arrow just like crazy. What do I do? So he showed me the 2-on-1 so I could, like, you know, learn how to start getting out. And then it was like, all right, start doing this to keep them from, you know, mounting you like that. And then do this. So, you know, you can, like, just notice, like, hey, man, the same thing's happening to me over and over again. And that's, like, that's the first thing, you know what I mean? And if you're stiff and you're just like you said, like, you're just like fighting that arm bar and you're not noticing, like, how is this happening to me over and over, right? Like, I guess, like, approaching things from a place of curiosity rather than, like, you know, ego and having to win. Because, you know, if you're getting arm barred and you're just getting up every time and you're like, god damn it, you know, and pissed off,
you're not gonna learn.
Like, that's not it. And that's where people get frustrated and stuff. But it's like, man, if you just get up and you're like curious, like, man, what is going on? And maybe even ask someone, you know, if you can't figure it out, like, man, like, what are you guys doing to me that always, you know, has that open? Or, you know, and I guarantee you, most people will tell you. You may get that one guy who's like, whatever, I like doing it to you, so figure it out on your own. But for the most part, people will help you out. But that's, like, that's important. And that's where part of, like, you know, when you're doing your specific training or you're rolling, like, man, spending, you know, 3-4 minutes just locked up in a static position is no good for anyone. No one's learning anything. And that's why you want to do that stuff in here, in the gym, where it's, you know, safe. You didn't pay money to be there. You're not at a competition or something like that, because that's where you're going to learn. You know, like, obviously, if you're at a competition and it's like, man, I got to keep this guy from passing my guard because I'm up 2-0. And it's like, dude, freaking
100%
away, man. Like, that's okay. But again, it's situational.
It's just situational. And I think we can say that it's okay. Like, in the academy, when we're training with one another, like, it's okay to make mistakes. They, instead of fighting that guard pass, so to speak, or whatever, like, your life depends on it. Oh, man, just go with it, you know, and
try to set your frames.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just learn what that next fight is, you know, and it's okay. Like, don't, I don't, you got to be okay to make mistakes. Yeah. It's okay. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get caught, man. You're going to do stupid stuff. But that's what, when we're training together, that's what those times are for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is to try a new move, you know. Oh, shit, I lost position. Nah, man, now this guy's on top of me. You know, I'm getting smashed. Excuse me, but that's okay. Like, just keep trying it, man. Yeah. Like, that's how you're gonna learn. Like,
you're gonna learn. Yeah.
Just, it's okay to make those mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
And the only reason you don't, a lot of times, is because of that ego. Like,
yeah.
Like, hey, man, like, I want to get the better guy, the better of this training partner this round. So I'm not gonna try this move because then he might pass or he might get on top. Oh, man, like, it doesn't do you any good in the long run.
Yeah, I know.
But we all fight it, man.
I fight it all the time.
You're
saying it,
dude.
I'm sitting here like, that's easy to say, man.
It is, dude. It's super easy to say, but...
Yeah, there's definitely partners where I'm like, man, there's moves and it goes through your head and you hate to admit it and you're just like, shit, dude, like, you know, but it is. You're like, if I go for this and it doesn't work, like, I'm in a really, really, really bad spot. And, you know, and then, but yeah, like, rolling defensively, you know, there's a time and place for all of it, but you just want to make sure I guess that's the thing, is, like, you just want to make sure it's like, you know, there's a balance there, but it's just, rolling defensively all the time, or just like that 100% to try to make up for lack of technique and not just kind of going with the flow a little bit and seeing what's going to happen. Like, it doesn't help you in the long run and it hinders technique and stuff like that. So,
and plus it's more fun. Like, you know,
it is more fun.
I don't understand. Like, you come across those guys that are ultra defensive, you know, and they almost rarely ever, you know, go after submission or anything. And to me, that's just not fun. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of operate under the mindset, like, my aggressive offense is my best defense. You know, if you're having to defend, you know, stop me from choking you,
right?
You're not choking me.
Yeah, you know that's what I mean? We joke all the time. It's like, we don't worry about points. We're like, I'm trying to play pretend kill you, and I'm trying to not get pretend killed.
It's so
and
much more fun.
It is so much more fun. And, yeah, every once in a while, I run across people who are, like, they got like a real competition-heavy background a lot, usually. Like, they're – or, you know, because I always think points. You know what I mean? Which is it's a different thing, but it's like, yeah, going for those submissions and stuff like that. Or,
so much more fun, just, dude.
Yeah. But, yeah, the submissions are definitely fun. So, yeah, man. Well, what
– I mean, we touched on, like, so we kind of went off on a tangent there about intensity, but
I think it all kind of circled in there, man.
Yeah,
we covered a lot.
No, it's good, but there's another thing I want people to keep in mind with – or think about is, you know, size and strength matters. You know, so if you're, you know, some 18-year-old kid, 200 pounds, athletic, don't go beast mode in some chick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we see it happen. And you got to have a talk with those guys.
Or like, beast mode and Steve Maxwell.
Yeah.
Like Steve Maxwell told us a story about, like, some, you know, he thought he you know, again, he told a story, so obviously it can't be that too bad, but he just said, you know, he made the mistake of rolling with a bigger, stronger guy who he thought was going to be able to control that volume knob better. But yeah, so, I mean, it happens to everyone if you don't know it.
Be mindful is really what I'm saying is don't – yeah, man, if you're a lot bigger and stronger than somebody, don't be an asshole. Don't smash that person just because you're bigger and stronger. That's not jiu-jitsu, you know what I mean? And is what's going to happen if you continually do that. People aren't going to want to train with you.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to really start.
You get a reputation.
You get a reputation. We come across those guys, man. Even when you talk to them, like, hey, man, chill out. They, you know, don't do that. And they still do it. And it's something. And I think a lot of that ties back into the ego.
Yeah.
You know, if that is you, if you find yourself really beating the piss out of some girl or someone that you outweigh by 100 pounds or 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Man, I think you need to maybe put the phone down, get off Facebook, and spend some time thinking about what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, a lot of this goes back to being introspective. You know, you gotta spend a little bit of time with that. Think about it. And like, why did I behave that way? You know, yeah, it takes some time. It's uncomfortable sometimes, man, to think about.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think a lot of times, like, you know, like I said, we've had this conversation before. I think that people don't know it. And then once you've been exposed to it, right, like once somebody's explained it to you and now you're still doing it, okay, now we got a problem.
Right.
You know, so I think like the vast majority of people out there, you know, are just like, you know, I mean, I'll be totally honest. Like, I remember for me, I was rolling with Vicky, who we both know is a good friend of our Cameron's wife, and she's a smaller female. And I was a white belt, new started, and she was a blue belt, so she's got color on her belt. And again, like, I remember thinking, like, dude, if you got color on your belt, like, man, you know some sort of dim mock, man. I know it. I'm just waiting for you to just, like, do something to me, man. I remember rolling, like, so kind of just, you know, defensive and scared, thinking, like, everyone who had color or a couple stripes on their belt, like, was going to just at some point was just going to turn it on me and just freaking give it to me. And so, you know, I was rolling with her, and I wasn't beast mode in her. But I remember there was a point where I was like, oh, happy. I was like, oh, I just armbarred Vicky. And I'm like, no, wait a minute, dude. Like, you outweigh her. And, like, you know, she's doing – yeah, but there was that moment where I realized it. But, like, you know, if I hadn't realized it, I would have just kept going, thinking, like, oh, I'm doing good against this blue belt. And, you know, even though she's a girl and stuff like that, like, I don't know any better and stuff. So, I just – yeah, like, if you don't have that realization or you don't have someone who tells you – that it's easy to and then you realize you've done it. Like I said, like, I still, like, I'm sorry, Vicky, I haven't ever apologized to you for that, but like,
hopefully
I said,
she's listening.
Yeah. Like I said, luckily I wasn't like doing anything stupid, but there was a moment where I was like, oh, I'm getting a triangle on her, and I was like, no, you're not. Yeah. You know, and so it changed my whole mindset with, you know, rolling with smaller people or whatever. And you do, and that's, you know, it's. I was talking with the basics class the other day and saying, like, man, when you're rolling with a smaller person, or, and we were talking about the volume knob thing, I was like, dude, you should never go over 50%. Like, there should be no excuse in the world for you to ever go over 50% effort when you're rolling with someone that you are just physically bigger and stronger than. There's none. I can't think of a single reason, man.
No reason.
None, because they can't possibly put you in a dangerous situation that you know what I mean? They're not going to. There's just none. Like, but if you don't know, you don't know it.
You
so,
don't know. Yeah. And that's, you know, this conversation is, I think, will be good for people to listen to for that reason. They'll be like, oh shit, am I doing that? You know, because you might not know.
You
might not know. And that's fair. That's, you know, that's again, the beauty of jiu-jitsu. It exposes these things.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
It allows for personal growth.
It does, man.
Yeah, man. Jiu-jitsu is. It forces a lot of personal growth if you're going to stick with it for a while. Like, you got to become a better person. You have to. You got to become a better learner. You know, it's actually one of the things that, see, we got a few more minutes before we got to go to class here. But you got the last thing there, which is great. Another one I didn't write down, but I'm glad you wrote down, is a notebook or journal, which is hugely important. Again, I can't emphasize enough how much that helps. And obviously, this is one of those hypocritical things, because I haven't been nearly as good about keeping up with my journal over the last couple of years as I was. But man, when I was a white belt, it was religious for the first like 2 years, you know, in a blue belt. Like, man, it was every class I was making notes, and it just helped so much, man. And I think, like, you know, just for me, I think one of the big mistakes that people make with note taking is they take notes like they're going to have to go back and study them later for a test. I think, like, school ruins a lot of people on note taking, because that's what they think it is. And they're like, man, now I got to sit down and I got to write it all legibly, and it's got to make sense when I go back and read it later. And it's like, no, it goes back to, like, one of the things that they found about, you know, high performance people in journaling stuff, is it helps etch the stuff into your brain better. Like, that's why you write this stuff down, is not necessarily so you can go back and reference it later. That's great if you can. But in that moment of you writing it down, it forces you to think about it and you know, instill it in your brain on a deeper level. And then the action of actually writing instills it in your brain. So you're etching these things deeper in your brain by keeping the journal. And man, you compound that over a couple years and years, and, you know, on into the you know, your jiu-jitsu career, and it makes a huge difference. So again, I know not there's a lot of people who haven't kept journals that have been very successful, but I found it to be hugely helpful for me, and I know you do.
And that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because I wrote it down in my notes and I didn't mention it, and that is something that I wish would have been emphasized to me right from the get go. Hey, keep a training journal. And maybe it was, and I was too much of a meathead to fucking listen to it.
Yeah.
But, no, man, it's important. Like, it will, man, it'll help your growth so much in jiu-jitsu, on and off the mat. You know, really just, but man, a training journal, yeah. I can just do it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, who cares what, and we kind of got this thing around old Grand Valley Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, if you leave your journal around.
I was just about to say, don't leave your journal on the mat,
if
man.
You leave your journal laying out, some of us might grab it and write some obscene shit in there, but no, that's okay. It'll give you some entertainment for a later date, you know, but yeah, get yourself a training journal, man.
I don't see enough people, man. Me and you have had this conversation with so many people, and I'd say like way less than 10% of the people we've had this conversation with over the years that I'd turn around and see them keeping a journal. And less than 10% of those people I've seen keeping a journal for longer than a month.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's such an easy, low-hanging fruit to just fast-track your progress. And it blows my mind that more people don't take advantage of it. But, man, just set a clock for, like, 5 minutes. Again, like, make it easy, right? So people have this big, intimidating hurdle. It's like, dude, set a timer for 5 minutes and just write down in your journal whatever you can get in there in that 5 minutes, and then be done with it. You know what I mean? Like, if you have more time and you want to sit down and you want to detail, but I think, like, people think that it's got to be this big, grandiose production.
Dear diary.
Today in class, we learn arm bars. But no, it literally can just be some scribbles, man. And just, you know, obviously the deeper you get into it, the better. But just some scribbles will serve you so much better than not doing anything at all. So, yeah,
perfect.
Man.
Perfect. I think that's a good place to wrap it up.
Cool,
you know,
man.
Keep a training journal. And to sum it all up, don't be an asshole.
Yeah,
You know, we're a family. We're a team. Take care of your training partners
yep.
by taking care of yourself. you know, and it'll just carry over. You lead by example. The new people will see that. Because, I mean, without getting all mushy, but, dude, I appreciate, like, our team and our school so much, dude. It's an important part of my life, man. Like, if I didn't have it, dude, I'd be fucking insane. You know what I mean? And so, understand that coming in, if you're a new person, like...
It's what it can be for.
It can be that. And for the people that have been here a long time, it's not just showing up and getting a workout, man. Like, it's more, you know? So,
yeah,
that's why we kind of seem like a cult and get a little weird sometimes. But, dude, it's for a lot of us, man, it is a really important part of our life. And we'll dig into that in another episode. But,
Yeah, man,
just don't be an asshole. Keep a training journal. And cut your toenails. Those are the lessons. Yeah, yeah. Three big takeaways from the day.
Some volume knob in there, too. So, cool, man. Yeah. Something we didn't get to touch on, but I know I want to do an episode on is competition. I think competition is another one of those things that new people can get. It can be really good for them, or it can be really bad. So
maybe next week, because I want to talk about confidence, you know, what I'm struggling with. And the competition plays into a big part of that.
So
maybe we'll shoot for that. Our little
cool, man.
Conversation next week.
All right. Well, cool, guys. Well, again, you guys can check us out. We're on Podbean, and we're also on iTunes now.
Yeah.
So Grumpy Guy BJJ is the podcast. And, you know, leave a review. Give us a rating.
Yeah, 5-star rating. Yeah, good man. Review.
Hook us up.
We got some cool shit in the works, man. I'm sure we'll get some stickers, some patches.
Yeah,
you know, maybe, you know, when people start leaving us review, we can send some swag out, you know.
Yeah, man, we're going to have some fun with this. Oh, yeah. But anyways, we appreciate the support. We had over 50 downloads of our first podcast already.
Look at that, man.
So, yeah, man, we're pretty pumped. We appreciate the support, guys. So, yeah, find us on Podbean and iTunes, and we will talk to you guys next week.
That's it. Thanks, James. Bye.
Man, no problem. And we are out.